Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Erechin Daf Chof Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin from the top line of Daf Chof Beis, continuing in the topic of sales of property belonging to orphans, or sales of property that are currently in the possession of Hekdesh of the Beis HaMikdash. Tana Rabbanan, we have a Tanaic source, Shum HaYisoimim Shloshim Yom. This, of course, we learned about in our previous shiur, that there is a 30-day period during which an announcement is made concerning the impending sale of Yisoimim properties. And during that time, people will bid on the property, and the hope is that you will fetch a high price for it. V'shum ha-hekdesh shishim yom, divrei Rabbi Meir, according to Rabbi Meir, the time span for announcements concerning the sale of hekdesh property is 60 days. There are two more opinions reflected in this source. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, shum ha-yisomim shishim yom. He says that the announcement period for the sale of orphan property is over a period of 60 days. V'shum ha-hekdesh tishim yom. And sale of hekdesh properties, lands donated to the Beis HaMikdash, in the event they want to sell off their property, it's an announcement period over 90 days. You'll notice that Rabbi Yehuda increases by 30 days the amounts of time that Rabbi Meir had mentioned. V'chachomim omrim echod zeh v'echod zeh, both Yisomim properties and Hekdesh properties, shishim yom, a 60-day period. Omar Rav Chisda, Omar Avimi, halocha, shum ha-yisomim shishim yom. So Rav Chisda, quoting Avimi, says it's to be 60 days for the sale of orphan property, 60 days of announcements. Yosef Rav Chiyo bar Ovin v'ko'omar loho shmaitza. Rav Chiyo said over this teaching, Omar le Rav Nachman bar Yosef Rav Chiyo bar Ovin. Rav Nachman, in trying to clarify that which Rav Chiyo said, he asks, Shishim ko'amris o shloshim ko'amris? Did you say 60 or 30? Omar le shishim, I said 60 days. D'yosayimim o'i de'hekdesh? The 60 days, is it for the sale of orphan properties or of hekdesh properties? Omar le d'yosomim, I said a 60-day period for Yisomim sales. Rabbi Meir o Rabbi Yehuda, is your ruling like Rabbi Meir or like Rabbi Yehuda? Omar le Rabbi Meir, I said 60 days for Yisomim property sales in accordance with Rabbi Meir. Aha, now this gives rise to a question. V'ha Rabbi Meir shloshim ko'omar. If you glance at the upper part of this, at the top line of this page, and you can navigate with the little star that we've included to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara, you will notice at that point it's 30 days for Yisomim according to Rabbi Meir, not 60. Omar Lei, so Rabbi Chiyo says back, Hochi Omar Rav Chisda. Thusly said Rav Chisda. So Chisda now is being quoted as having reported the following. Kulfi tovi boli minei davimi alo deho shmaitza. Literally is, I absorbed a lot of blows from Avimi concerning this particular teaching, this particular halacha. In other words, when I heard that the announcement period was 60 days, so I suggested, well, then that 60 days for Yisomim must be according to Rabbi Yehuda. And Avimi said, no, this is according to Rabbi Meir. If we look in the Rashi at the top line, Kufi Tovi, HaKoyz Gedolos Al Hodesh Maitza, a lot of blows on this teaching, Shoyim Alamdeni, he used to teach me, says Rav Chisda, Shum HaYisomim Rabbi Meir Shishim Yom, that it's 60 days for the impending sale of Yisomim properties. V'hoyisi mak shaloha omar Rabbi Meir Shloshim. Well, and I used to ask him what Rabbi Meir said, only 30. You know, so if anyone said 60, it would have been Rabbi Yehuda. V'hu omar li, and Avimi answered me, bo lahachruz rutsufim shloshim yoim. If it's a consecutive announcement day after day, then that's over 30 days. Bein Yisomim bein Hekdish. So now we'll see this in the Gemara. In other words, to just go over the point, Rav Nachman, in asking Rav Chiyo for clarification, Rav Chiyo says, listen, this 60-day period is in accordance with Rebbe Meir. And if you're going to ask, like was asked, well, isn't Rebbe Meir's opinion 30 days? So the following is the resolution. Now, back in the Gemara, bo lahachruz ritzufim shloshim. If you're talking about an announcement that's going to be day after day, in a consecutive daily fashion, then 30 days would be sufficient. However, b'sheni u'b'chamishi shishim, if it's only on Mondays and Thursdays, those are the days that the courts sit in session, if on those days the announcements are going to be made, so it will be made over a 60-day period. V'afagav dechi choshiv lehu mor liyoyme hachroza, and even though, if you calculate how many actual days of announcement would you find on Mondays and Thursdays over a period of 60 days, lo havela tamne sar yomi, you'll come out only with 18 days. In other words, over a period of 60 days, you'll find 18 Mondays and Thursdays. And you'll say, well, isn't that shortchanging the Yisomim? If they would have had consecutive days, it would have been 30 announcements. Here, over a period of 60 days, you're only getting 18 announcements. So you would say that fewer people will hear about it. So to this we respond, Kevon de Mashcha Milso Shami Inshi. Since it's over a longer period of time, at least the same number of people will hear about it. Word will get out. Because of the extended period of time, you don't need to have so many days in order to get the word out. As you can see, we have a slash mark in the Gemara, indicating that which follows is a new trend of thought. On the outside margin, under our Nosei heading, we have written, the Nosei being the topic, Mosai Nizkokim Lenichse Yisoimim. When is it that we will move in and sell off property belonging to orphans? And it should be noted that orphans in the Gemara is a reference to children that are ketanim. They're certainly under bar mitzvah, certainly under 13 years of age. There may be other opinions extending that till even up till 20, because in other areas of Allah we say that children cannot sell the property of their parents until they reach age 20. But for the time being, the concept of Yisomim, of orphans, applies certainly to those that are considered ketanim. Ketanim are not chayev in the performance of mitzvahs. We will come back to this point a little bit later. So the issue right now is, under what circumstances do we sell off properties belonging to orphans? Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Rav Asi. Rav Asi is the first of two opinions in this sugya. Ein nizkokim nirchse yisoymim, elo imkein hoiso ribis oicheles bohen. We will not sell off properties of yisoymim unless their father was obligated to pay back money to an idolater, to an idol worshiper. Idol worshippers collect loans with interest. In Jewish law, it's forbidden for a lender to collect a loan with interest payments. So this comment of Rav Asi that speaks about monies that are owed, that were owed by their father with interest, it must be that their father had borrowed money from a lender who was an idol worshiper. And as such, the Yisomim, the interest builds up on an ongoing basis, and the longer that the loan is delayed in being paid back, the more they will lose. So it's in their interest, the Yisomim's interest, that their properties be sold off to pay off the loan as soon as possible. So it's only under those circumstances that the court will move in and sell off property belonging to orphans. Once again, only according to Rav Asi, only in the event that Ribbis is eating up their funds, so to speak. Rav Yochanan Omer, Oy Lishtar Sheyesh Bo Ribbis, Oy Liksubas Isha Mishum Mezoni. Rav Yochanan adds another example. In addition to that which Rav Asi says, that sales of orphan properties can be made in order to pay off a loan so that the interest doesn't cause an increase in how much will be collected, will also sell off the properties in the event that their father left a widow, and as long as she does not receive her ksuba payment is the money that a man guarantees his wife to receive in the event that he dies. Ksuba is also paid in the event that a man divorces his wife, but right now we're talking about a widow situation. We're talking about orphans that their father died leaving a widow, and as long as she doesn't receive her ksuba payment, so she has an entitlement to maintenance that food and food related matters which a person needs in order to sustain himself. So that's a provision that the halacha makes for a widow, that she draws mizonos. That's the literally the she is fed from the estate until she receives her ksuba payment. So now, if you have orphans, it's in their interest that their properties are sold off to pay the ksuba to the widow. She inevitably will get her ksuba, so pay it off soon. That way, that causes the mizonos payments to stop, and they end up saving all of that expense. Now, for Rav Asi, my time alo omar liksubas isha. Rav Asi mentioned that the only reason for the sales of orphan property is to pay off a debt to a lender, to a creditor. Why doesn't he mention this example of paying off the widow to receive her ksuba, thereby saving the orphans from the continued mizonos payments? The Gemara answers why Rav Asi didn't say that, because da tokinu le rabbonon maisa yodeha. The widow, assuming that she works, she produces some type of income, or she makes things and for sale, that income the Yisomim would get, so they would be able to pay off her mizonos with the Maisi Yodayim, so that there isn't any pressing need to sell off the ksuba in order to save them from continued mizonos payments, when the mizonos payments will be covered through her Maisi Yodayim. Now, Ve'idach, Rabbi Yochanan, who said we do sell for ksuba payment, Zimnin delo sofka, at times the Maisi Yodayim, the income she produces from her labors and efforts, won't cover the minimum needs of mizonos that she requires. And therefore she will draw from the estate mizonos payments unless she gets paid her ksuba. The ksuba, it goes without saying, is a relatively speaking, a large sum of money that the woman would receive as a we'll call it a one-time payment, as opposed to the daily mizonos funds that are needed to support her. The Gemara now continues, and we see triangles that appear as you scan ahead in the Gemara in varying directions, sometimes the point up, sometimes the point down. On the outside margin, we have under our Mivneh heading, Mivneh, the structural note, we explain the role of these triangles. First of all, we have in parentheses the term Ma'akav, an attempt to keep track. With the triangle pointing up, they represent kushyos al Rav Asi, questions or challenges to Rav Asi's point. And the inverted triangle represents responses, tshuvos. Throughout this Gemara, we'll also be noting with a double underline the expression of Bishlamo l'Rabbi Yochanan. In other words, we'll be raising questions along the way and pointing out that the questions are not a problem for Rabbi Yochanan. Bishlamo means it's well according to Rabbi Yochanan. He can explain whatever challenge is posed to Rav Asi, he, Rabbi Yochanan, will explain to his own defense. But Rav Asi is going to have to stand up to this, to the questioning. We'll see that all as we go on. Tanan. We quote from our Mishnah, Shum HaYisayimim Shloshim Yoyim, V'Shum HaEgdish Yishim Yoyim. The announcements made in anticipation of the sale of orphan property is over 30 days, and regarding Beis HaMikdash land holdings, over 60 days. U'machrizin Baboker U'Bereven. The announcements take place in the morning and the evening. B'mai Askinon. What is the case here of the sale of, for what reason are we selling off orphan properties? If one is to think that we're talking about an idolatrous creditor, who is someone that would collect interest payments, and that's why we're selling off the properties of the orphans, well, Mithsayas. Would he listen? That's the literal translation. Meaning, would he accept this idea of waiting a whole month before receiving payment? He wouldn't cooperate. El pshita bebal chov Yisrael. Rather, it must be that we're talking about a Jewish creditor. Well, then we have to clarify. If it's a loan extended by a Jew with interest built in, would we leave him do so? Would we allow that? Ela delo ka'ochil ribisa. Rather, it must be a case where there is no interest that is owed. In other words, we have money that's owed without interest. The katoni nizkakin, and it says, well, we nizkakin is an expression we'll see quite often. It means we will deal with them. We will sell off the properties. So what have we described here? We've described money owed by this family, the Yesomim family, and we sell off the properties, and there is no interest factor. So, Bishlam Rabbi Yochanan Muki Lobik Subasisha. As far as Rabbi Yochanan is concerned, he can say that the reason we're selling off orphan properties is to pay off the ksuba owed to the widow. Elo Rav Asi Kasha. But according to Rav Asi, who said that the only reason for the sale of orphan properties is to save them ribis interest payments, well, this that we just set up this case, it's not talking about an idol worshiper having extended a loan with interest. We have a bracketed section, and with the skipping of the bracketed section, we immediately come to the answer, Li'oilom. This is a response on behalf of Rav Asi. You'll notice we have a bracket length indicator, the dashed dotted vertical line that appears to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. So if you skip this, you see the answer, Li'oilom, Bevalchov, Oive Kechavim. We are talking about an idol worshiper creditor, and in because of that, there is an interest issue. However, Shekibel Olav Lo Dun B'Dinei Yisrael. The only reason we didn't want to set it up as dealing with an idol worshiper is the question, would he wait? So that is not a problem. We're explaining right now he will wait because he accepted upon himself the laws that apply to the Jews. And the Jewish law involves waiting for the announcement period in order to receive the highest bid for the land. We'll come back to this later, but for the time being, what we wanted to demonstrate through the markings is that we raised a question on Rav Asi and then skipped immediately to see the response. Now let's go back over the bracketed section. We have a note that accompanies this bracketed section. You'll see there's a little star on the side of the Gemara. This explains Achrei HaSograyim, after the bracketed section, by the time we finish the bracketed section, Nisheres HaKushya al Rav Asi, the question on Rav Asi will remain. And that's why after the brackets we then come to the answer. B'soch ha-sograyim, within the bracketed section, Rav Asi minase laharos l'Rav Yochanan nami lo nicha. That if instead of asking just on me, according to Rav Yochanan, also things aren't so smooth. And that's what Rav Asi will try to demonstrate, that according to Rav Yochanan, there is also a problem. Avol nisayon ze nidcha. This attempt will be rejected within the brackets. We could point out, by the way, that a very similar structure will appear a little bit later in the Gemara, and we'll have, again, a bracketed section with a note there to say, to refer to this note that we just read. Now, let's start the Gemara with the brackets. Omar loch Rav Asi, ul Rav Yochanan, mi nicha. Is this source so smooth according to Rav Yochanan? What did Rav Yochanan say? Rav Yochanan would have told you that we have a 30-day announcement period before the sale of orphan property in order to pay off a ksuba. However, we can ask the following question: Mi shavkinon mezoni devadai komafsida v'naktinon hachroza deloyadinon I marvachinon I lo marvachinon. If the whole consideration here is to save the yesoimim, the mizonos payments, well, over the next 30 days, they are going to be losing those funds, because we're saying that we're delaying the sale until 30 days of announcements passes. But in the meantime, there is definite loss. So does it make sense to say that we're going to delay the sale of their property in order to fetch a higher price, which is a doubt? We don't know if that will result in their in achieving a higher price than the actual there was a assessment made of the property value at the by the court before this 30-day announcement period starts. That's why it's called shum. Shum means an evaluation or an assessment. The 30 days is designed to see if they can get a higher bid for the property. But in the meantime, you have a case of a definite loss of the mizonos that she is going to have to be funded from their estate, with on the other side only a possibility of maybe yes, maybe no, of their fetching a higher price for the property. So does that make sense? So the Gemara says, ha lo kashya. This issue of definite loss versus doubtful gain is not a problem, because we're talking here about b'toivas ksubasa b'beizdin. She is laying claim to her ksuba in a court. Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, based on his teaching, the Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, ha'toivas ksubasa b'beizdin, a woman who seeks claim for her ksuba payment in court, ain lo mizonos. She doesn't get mizonos. At that point in time that she lays claim for ksuba, the mizonos payments stop. And that's what we're talking about here in the Mishnah. Therefore, they are not losing out by waiting 30 days during this announcement period. The Gemara asks, "E hachi, if that's so, that she doesn't get mizonos because she laid claim in court, well then, is da kuki lo mizdakinon la? Well, we shouldn't have to even sell off the properties to pay off the ksuba." Well, as far as that's concerned, ela kevon dizdakikinon lo meikora, since we dealt with her at the beginning of her claim to stop the ksuba, to stop the mizonos, mizdakinon lo lebesof, then we go all the way in helping her out in ensuring her collection of the ksuba, so that we won't wait any more than the 30 days in order for her to get the ksuba. Mikol mokom, the Rav Asi kashya. What we've accomplished here is so far as we raised the question on Rabbi Yochanan, but showed how the challenge to Rabbi Yochanan isn't a problem. But the original question with regard to Rav Asi, that remains. Li'oilom, the Gemara answers on behalf of Rav Asi b'bal chova v'gichovim, we are talking about a creditor who is an idol worshiper, who is, as a result of that, someone who will collect interest on his loan. Shekibel of Lodun Bedine Yisrael. And if you will ask before that, how can you set up the Mishnah as talking about a case of an idolatrous creditor? he won't wait 30 days. So to that we answer, he will wait 30 days because he accepted upon himself the Jewish law. And the Jewish law insists on a 30-day waiting period of announcements in anticipation of the sale of orphan property. Well, ihachi, if we're talking about a fellow, a Gentile, who accepted upon himself Jewish law, ribis nami lo lishko, then he shouldn't be collecting interest either. Interest is forbidden according to Jewish law. The Gemara answers, shekibel olav lezu velo kibel olav lezu. He accepted upon himself the waiting period, but he didn't accept upon himself to forego interest payments. So, as Rav Asi explained, we are selling off orphan property because there is a Gentile creditor with an interest-bearing loan that he is trying to collect, and as time goes by, the interest builds up, and that's why it's in their interest that we sell off their properties. And as we said, he will, however, even though he's collecting interest, which is not according to Jewish law, this Gentile accepted upon himself the waiting period before the sale of the orphan properties. Toshma, we have a number two listed here because this will be a second attempt to question Rav Asi. Later on the page, the first wide line of the Gemara, there will be a number three as well. So, Toshma, Ein Nifroin Minichse Yesoimim, and we should also point out, we failed to point this out earlier, but this Toshma, as the one before, the number one, was an attempt to raise the question of Asi over a period of several lines of Gemara. And the same thing happens over here. This we've indicated to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a triangle, which we know already from our marking a Mivneh explanation is a question, and the vertical dashed line indicates the length of the question. So we continue in the Gemara. Toshma ein nifroin minichse yisoymim elo min haziburis. When we come to sell orphan property, assuming that they have different qualities of land, high quality, middle quality, lowest quality, we sell off only the lowest qualities, known as ziburis, in order to pay off whatever needs to be paid. So b'may askinan, what are the circumstances here? If we're talking about a Gentile creditor, mitzoyis, who says he is going to listen, that he's going to cooperate with this idea of getting the poorest quality land in order to pay off his debt. Just we should point out, like by the way, when there is according to Jewish law, a creditor is entitled to receive middle quality land in payment of his debts. That having been said, who says that a Gentile creditor would accept receiving poorest quality land in payment of his debt? It should also be pointed out that no one should make a mistake. When we speak about different qualities of land, we're not talking about actual value that a person is going to be repaid. It's just that the means of repaying will be with poor quality land. In other words, more area of poor quality land has the same value of a lesser area of high quality land. So in terms of actual value payment, he's going to be getting the same value. It's just a question in terms of what quality land are we talking. So we say at this point, we're obviously not talking about a Gentile creditor, Elo Pshita B'Baal Chov Yisrael. Well, it must be that we're talking about a type of debt that's owed to a Jew. Well, Iochil Rabisa Mishav Kinolei, if you're talking about interest eating up, eating into their estate, like Rav Asi said, would we let a Jew collect interest? We wouldn't. Elo Delo Ochil Rabisa. Rather, we're talking about money owed without any interest problem. V'Kotoni Nizkokin, and we say that we will sell off their lands. So we're selling off lands, their poorest quality land, in order to pay off money owed without an interest factor. So that's a problem for Rav Asi. Bishlamola Rav Yochanan, Muki Lobik Subasisha. As far as Rav Yochanan is concerned, he will say that the sale of the orphan properties is talking about the payment of the ksuba to the widow. Elola Rav Asi Kashya. But according to Rav Asi, who says we don't deal with the orphan property. We don't sell off orphan property unless ribis, unless interest would be eating up their estate. And as we just said, we can't set this up as money owed with interest. Once again, as we mentioned earlier, notice the bracketed section, three lines. We also have a bracket length indicator to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. The question is raised on Ravasi, and skipping the brackets, you see Lo'oilom v'balchov ove kechovim. We are talking about a Gentile creditor, and hence that there is interest present here. However, Shekibe Olov Lodun Bedini Israel, he accepted upon himself the Jewish law, and the Jewish law says that orphan properties that are sold to pay off debts are sold, properties only of poorest quality are sold, the Ziburis. So he accepted that. Once again, we'll get back to the flow of Gemara later. First, let's go over the bracketed section. After the question was raised on Rav Asi, Omar Loch Rav Asi, Rav Asi says, Ula Rav Yochanan mi nicha, are things so smooth according to Rav Yochanan? E ksuba, if, as you said before, Bishlamo Rav Yochanan, he said things work out well according to Rav Yochanan, because we can set it up as a ksuba payment, my iria miasmi. Why do you speak about a case of orphans? Afilu mine didei nami beziburis. If the Tanaic source was talking about the payment of a ksuba, why, and it mentions in the source that the payment is made from the poorest land quality, why speak about orphans when that applies even to the husband himself? Ho lo kashya. That is not an objection. Rabbi Meir, this is in accordance with Rabbi Meir, Yomar Ksubas Isha Bebeinunis, that a Ksuba, when a husband has to pay off the Ksuba in the event that he divorces his wife, so he pays from middle quality, not poorest quality land. Umiyasmi Beziburus, however, when it comes to orphans, only then is it paid off through Ziburus. So, as far as Rabbi Yochanan is concerned, the source is talking about a ksuba payment, and if you'll ask why we have to focus on yesomim, that's because the source is according to Rabbi Meir, who says that only from yesomim is ksuba paid off from ziburis quality land. So that, as far as Rabbi Yochanan is concerned, this source is understood. Mikol Mokom the Ravasi Kashi, but according to Ravasi, who says we don't sell orphan properties unless ribis is eating up their estate. Well, what's going on over here? Li'oilom bevalchov ovekichovim. We are talking about a creditor who is a Gentile and hence is anticipating an interest payment as well. Shekibe olav lodun ben Israel, but he accepted this idea that he will receive as payment for his loan Ziburis quality land, or that is what is going to be sold off in order to pay off his loan. He'll cooperate with that law. E hachi ribis nami lo nishko. If he's accepted Dine Yisrael, Jewish law forbids collection of interest, and so then why doesn't he accept that as well? Answer: Shekibel lezu velo kibel olov lezu. He accepted upon himself the idea that the poor quality land is that which is going to be sold off to pay off his loan. However, he didn't accept upon himself relinquishing of the interest payment that he still insists on receiving. And so we explain that in accordance with Ravasi, this source can be understood. We're talking about the sale of orphan property in order to pay off an interest-bearing loan that a Gentile had extended to their father. Toshma, we notice a number three. This is a third attempt to question Rav Asi. The source says, Almenas litain leishik subasa ulabalchov chovo. Now, this source we had seen back on Daf Chof Aleph Omid Beis. And it was in that context, there the Gemara spoke about the in a Tanaic source that appeared on Chof Aleph Omid Beis, where the source spoke about the sale of orphan properties, and it mentioned that the sale is in order to pay off an isha and her ksuba, or a balchov, a creditor to whom money was owed. So Bishlomo Balchov, the Balchov example in this quote, in this Tanaic source, Bein Mor Ubein Mor Kedishonin. We will explain that we're talking about a Gentile creditor. And that as we explained already, that the appearance of a Gentile creditor who has an interest bearing loan to collect, that is good reason to sell off orphan property. Elok Subasa, but the source also mentions that the sale of the orphan properties is to pay off the ksuba of a woman. So Bishlam Rabbi Yochanan Nicha, that fits in well with Rabbi Yochanan, who accounted for that sales of orphan properties can be made for that type of payment as well. Elo Rav Asi Kashi, but according to Rav Asi, there is no right to sell off orphan properties except for the case of a Balchov that has an interest-bearing loan to collect. How do you explain this Tanaic source in accordance with Rav Asi? The Gemara answers, Hocha b'mayaskinon kishechayov moide. Here is a case where the father, just as he was about to die, admitted owing the money. Under those circumstances where he had admitted owing the money, then everyone will agree, even Rav Asi, that the property of the heirs, which, namely this man's property, can be sold to pay off the loan that he conceded to. Hashta de osis lahochi. Now that we've come up with this explanation of Chayav Moda to explain the issue of Baal Choyv, Kulunami, all of the questions raised above, where we were questioning how can we set up the case of the sources in accordance with the Rav Asi, we will tell you kishechayav moide. We can set it up as a Jewish based loan, a money owed to a Balchov Yisrael, no interest. However, the father admitted owing the money, so under those circumstances, everyone will agree that the orphan property can be sold to pay off the loan that their father admitted as still owing. Mremar agvik subosa ligrusha minichse diasmi. We've got underlined grusha because this is a relatively new factor in the sugya. Mremar sold off property owned by Yisomim in order to pay off ksuba, money owed to the woman that was divorced by their father. Their father is no longer alive, but he had divorced a woman, thereby creating an obligation to pay off her ksuba. Omer le Ravina la Meimar. Now this is a question that lasts a number of lines. We have a long question marking to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. You'll notice a kuf that's encircled with a descending vertical dashed line, about four lines. The Gemara asks, Omer le Ravina le Meimar. V'omer Rav Yehuda omer Rav Asi. Ein iskokin le nichse yisomim elim ken ho yisor ribis achilas bohen. We saw this quoted before, Rav Asi's halacha, that you don't sell off orphan properties unless interest is eating into their estate. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, oy lishtar sheish bo ribis, oy liksubas isha mishum mezoni. Rabbi Yochanan said, in addition to the loan, the interest-bearing loan reason, there's also an allowance to sell off their properties to pay off ksuba. And the reason for the ksuba was because of mizoni. That's mishum mizoni. Because otherwise, the widow will continue drawing funds from their estate for her maintenance. Ve'afilu Rabbi Yochanan komer lebal mona. And even Rabbi Yochanan, who extended the reasons for allowing orphan property sale, he said it only when it comes to a widow. The komafsida mizoni, because until she receives her ksuba, she's entitled to payment from their estate for mizonos. Avol grusha lo, but mizonos, that's something that doesn't apply to a divorced woman. So Rabbi Yochanan wouldn't have made an allowance for the sale of orphan properties to pay off the ksuba of a grusha. In other words, what's so pressing, so to speak, in order to pay off the ksuba of a grusha? Any delay until they become older, when they will then sell off their properties to pay this debt, but any delay isn't going to be at their expense. She's not drawing mizonos. Omar lay. The Ravino had asked Amemar this question, so Amemar, who did allow the payment of the ksuba of a grusha from nichse yisomim, from orphan property, Amemar answers. He says, as far as Rabbi Yochanan is concerned, there's a new twist. Hahi de Rabbi Yochanan, that which Rabbi Yochanan said originally, that orphan property can be sold to pay off ksuba, isn't because of mizonos, rather mishum cheno masninon law. I learned Rabbi Yochanan as saying because of cheno. We'll explain what this means. We want to ensure a society where women will want to get married. However, a woman will not want to get married if she knows that in the event that she becomes unwedded, if you will, divorced, for example, that she'll be left in a financial lurch. And that financial lurch basically is solved by making a ksuba requirement, and she knows it. If she's divorced, she gets a ksuba payment. However, there still is a deterrent factor to women wanting to get married because of the fear that that after they're divorced, the husband may die before she gets paid, and she'll have to deal with yesaimin, if someone are orphans. And if we say that she should experience a delay until they get older, become adult, and only then receive her ksuba, she's going to figure, wow, I can be in a financial lurch for a few years until I actually get my payment. I don't want to get married. I don't want to get into such a bind in the first place. So, in order to anticipation of such a situation, we make a provision that a woman's ksuba is paid even from orphan property, and without having to wait till they get older before they can sell their own properties. And this is called mishum cheno. Cheno means literally grace. We want the grace of men to be in the eyes of women. Namely, we want women to encourage marriage and preempt any fear they may have of being left high and dry without financial security. So as a result of our moving in to give them a feeling of security, we ensure them that even if they have to deal with Yisomim, they will still get their ksuba payment by our selling off the orphan property. Omar Rav Nachman, Meresha Lohava Mizda Kikno Lenichsiyasmi. At first, I wouldn't sell off properties of Yisomim. I wouldn't get involved with that. Kevin de Shamana Loha Duravhuno Chavrin Mishme de Rav. When I heard our colleague Rav Huna say in the name of Rav the following, Yasmi de Achli de Lo Didhu, Yisomim who benefit from something that's not theirs. In other words, if there's, let's say, money that their father owed and they continue benefiting from the estate, which at the same time really it represents money owed to others. So Yisomim who continue to benefit from that which really isn't theirs, Leizlu Boser Shivkayo, then they should follow the ones that left them. In other words, they too should die like their father. Well, when I heard that, so Mikan Veilech Mizdakakno, I then involved myself and would sell off Yisomim properties, because that would be only for their, basically for their self-preservation. Because otherwise you have this sort of curse that was said in the name of Rav. Now the Gemara asks me, Korah, my time alone, why at the outset was he reticent, or in fact did not get involved with the sale of Yisomim properties? Seemingly he wouldn't sell them under any circumstances. Well, why not? What was his fear? To answer this question, we have a few answers. On the outside margin under our Nosei Mivne heading, we have a crown shape featured. Te'omim, reasons, de lo nizkokin l'nichse yisomim. reasons not to sell off orphan property. Sim lev de ba'amud beis yesh otam. We've counted or listed here 1 and 2. It's our feeling that on Amud Beis, if you have a chance to scan ahead, you can see it on the last, second to last narrow line. Rava represents number 3. A third reason why one would not want to sell off Yesoimim properties. So we continue now in the Gemara. Omar Rav Papa, you know why one would not sell off Yesoimim properties? Prias Baal Chayv Mitzvah. This concept of paying off a debt is a mitzvah. V'yasmi lo b'nei meved mitzvah ninu. Yesoimim, being that they are minors, they are not obligated in the fulfillment of mitzvahs. And paying off a creditor is also a mitzvah, but they're not obligated in fulfilling mitzvahs. So that's why there's no need to sell off their properties in order to pay off their father's debts. Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua Omar. The reason I wouldn't sell, the reason one would have thought not to sell off Yesoimim properties is Amar Tzori Atfase. There is a feeling or a fear that maybe their own father had entrusted the creditor with money. Let's look at the Rashi. Tzori Atfase. Avihem, their father, Nosan Lebal Chovo Mois, their father had paid to the creditor the one he owed money, he had paid them cash, or he kept it off the mashkon, or silver or gold as collateral, Bishas Misa, Velo Ispik Lito Es Hashtar Miyodo, and in the meantime he died, not having a chance to take back the document indicating the loan had been made. So, as far as Rav Huna Brei Yeshua is concerned, why would I sell off their properties when their father may have already paid the creditor? My Binaya, what is the difference between these two reasons, Rav Papa and Rav Huna? Iko Binayu, B'shechayav Moideh, that's one possible difference. Inami Shamtuha Umeis B'shamte. We'll go over these. The first, the Aleph, B'shechayav Moideh. As at the point of his death, the dying man said, "I still owe the money." Well, if he said that, so then there's no chashash tsrori. And if that were the only reason not to sell off their property, so if you have chayav moda, you could sell off the properties. However, according to the reason given of Rav Papa, that prius b'chov mitzvah, you still would not sell off their properties because they don't have a mitzvah to pay off debts. They're still minors. Inami, another case that would be a difference between Rav Papa and Rav Huna Brei Yeshua. Shamtua, the father was put into excommunication for not paying off debts. Umeis Bishante, and he died while still in that state. So we explain here that as far as Tzrori is concerned, there is no Chashash Tzrori. If the father would have paid if one would suspect the father had paid off the debt, he would have paid it off in court, thereby removing the Cherem, the excommunication from him, from himself. And being that he died while still in a state of excommunication, it seems that he never paid or he never advanced any payment to the creditor. However, as far as Rav Papa's consideration, we still wouldn't sell off the properties, even though we know the father hadn't paid it off yet, because they are not b'nei mevad mitzvah ninu. Shochu mitam, it was sent from Eretz Yisrael, de shamtua umeis b'shamte. Rashi explains here, it's with this that we set up all the sources before, that said, Nizkokin li nichse yisoimim. What happened? The father had been put into excommunication, and he died that way. Therefore, there is no chashash that money was advanced. And being that that's the case, we can sell off their properties. And the issue of their not being of age to fulfill mitzvahs doesn't bother us. That doesn't prevent us. The Hilchasa Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua. And the Gemara rules like Rav Huna Breid Yeshua, that where there is no, where he was not excommunicated, then there is a chashash of tzori. And that would be a reason then not to sell off their properties. That's the Rashi says this at the end. Dehecha de lo shamtua chayish l'tzori. Where he wasn't put into excommunication, then we would suspect. We would suspect that the father had paid off the money and died before he reclaimed the document that he would have otherwise torn up upon payment of the debt. As we continue on the top of Omid Beis, you notice a new geometric form, a volcano shape. The Mivneh heading in the outside margin draws our attention, where you'll notice this shape, this volcano form or trapezoid, and an indication also ma'akav, that we will use this in order to keep track of the give and take structure of the Gemara, because as you scan ahead in the Gemara, you'll notice that the form becomes inverted and then flips over again back and forth. The back and forth style of Gemara is now explained in our outside margin. Kushios, with the narrow part facing up, these are kushios or apapa, these are challenges to Rapapa Domar, the ain is koken mishum diktanim ainu b'nei meved mitzvah. The Rapapa made the comment that we don't deal with orphan property because they are not of age in order to fulfill mitzvahs. So we'll challenge Rapapa as we go on in the Gemara, and you'll notice the inverted form, those are tshuvos, responses, and we'll be using a double underline emphasizing or highlighting Bishlam Rav Huna Rav Yeshua, where the Gemara will say that as far as his shita is concerned, his explanation, he is understood, he won't be challenged. In other words, any challenges we raise against Rav Papa will work out as far as Rav Huna is concerned. Now we turn to the Gemara. Notice that we have a number 1 to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with this volcano shape around it, indicating a question, and a vertical dashed line that follows, indicating the length of this question. You will see this appear later as well under our number 2. In the meantime, we are involved with the two Hesberim that we've learned, Rav Papa and Rav Huna Rav Yeshua, as to why someone would think not to sell Yesomim properties. And furthermore, we can use this to explain why it was said, why Rav Nachman said that at first I wouldn't sell Nichsei Yesomim. So we want to, after having seen an explanation for that, we want to evaluate those explanations. Tanan, Shuma Yisomim Shloshim Yom, Vishuma Hektis Shishim Yom, Umachrizin Baboker Boerev. We've seen this already a few times. Our Mishnah that said announcements concerning Yisomim properties are made over a period of 30 days, and for Hektish properties over 60 days. Bemai Askinon. What are the circumstances here of the sale of orphan property? If we're talking about a Gentile creditor, someone like that, so he doesn't, in this case, we're not going to say that they would wait until they get older. In the using the idea of Prius Bachov Mitzvah, for example, we can understand that when you're dealing with a Gentile creditor, so there, this concept of mitzvah doesn't apply, and hence I can understand there's be room to say that we are selling off the orphan property. So if you want to set it up like that, mi tsoyis, who says that the would a Gentile wait all the days required for the announcements, the 30 days? He wants his money immediately. Ela pshita b'balchov Yisrael. So you'll have to say that this source is talking about the sale of orphan property in order to pay off a Jewish creditor. Bishlamar Rav Huna Rav Yoshua Muki Lo b'shechayev Modeh. Well, I can understand if you say that the father admitted owing the money, we will sell off their properties without any fear of tsrori, no fear of their father having paid off the debt, because we're talking about a case of chayev moida. He admitted still owing the money. Ela l'Rav Papa kashya. But according to Rav Papa, how can you sell off to pay off a Jewish creditor their properties? Didn't Rav Papa say that they are not b'nei mevad mitzvah? They're not of age to fulfill mitzvahs? And yet we see here that we don't seem to care about that. It says in this source that we make announcements concerning the sale of orphan properties. Omar loch Rav Papa. So Rav Papa will answer. One possibility is Eboy is Emo, Ksuba, we're talking about the sale of orphan properties to pay off a woman's ksuba. That's what the Shuma Yisomim is addressing, paying off a woman's ksuba, Mishum Chena, because of the consideration we mentioned earlier to encourage women to get married and not have any fear of being left in financial instability. So, as far as Rav Papa is concerned, there is that case, there's the sale of ksuba, because of Chena, that is a reason to sell off orphan property. The Eboy Yisemo v'balchovo v'kechovim. And I can tell you that I can set it up also that in fact it is talking about paying off a creditor who happens to be a Gentile, and hence the whole concept that I introduced earlier, says Rav Papa, about Prius Bachov mitzvah doesn't apply because we're not dealing with a mitzvah consideration here. And we would ask before that, well, if it were talking about a Gentile creditor, but he's not going to wait. Shekiv el alav ladun b'dini Yisrael. He does accept upon himself the rules of the Jewish people, and that involves waiting for a period of announcements and bidding for the Yisomen property. Well, shekiv el alav, if you're going to set it up as talking about a Gentile creditor who accepted upon himself Jewish law, so linteri luhu adagavli, so then why doesn't he wait till they become of age? We said before an age at which they could be considered as Mekayim mitzvahs. So the Gemara answers, Shekibel olav lazu velo kibel olav lazu. We're talking about a Gentile creditor who accepted upon himself to wait for the announcement period, but didn't accept upon himself to wait until they become adult. Toshma. Once again, we have a challenge. You'll see it'll be a challenge to Rav Papa. And it's lasts a number of lines, as is indicated to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. This source we have seen before, where we spoke about reasons for the sale of orphan properties. It says, Almanas litein le'ishuk subasa ulebal choiv choivoi. So in looking at the Baal Chov over here, the creditor, b'mayaskinon, ilemo b'Baal Chov v'kechavim, if this source is talking about a Gentile creditor, and we should just mention the source is the same we saw earlier on Daf Chof Aleph Omid Beis. So if it's talking about the sale of orphan properties to pay off a Gentile creditor, mi tzayis, who would he wait for the Yemei Hachraza? Elof Shita, the Baal Chov Yisrael. Rather, it's obvious we're talking about a Jewish creditor. And we're selling off orphan properties to pay a Jewish creditor. Bishlam Rav Huna Rav Yeshua, Muki Lo B'Shechayev Modeh. According to Rav Huna Rav Yeshua, we're talking about a case where the father admitted still owing the money just before he died. Hence, there is no chashash. So there's no chashash. There's no fear that the father had already paid it off. Ela l'Rav Papa, Bishlamo Ksuba Mishum Chena. As far as Rav Papa, though, is concerned, I can understand the case of the sale of orphan properties to pay off a Ksuba because of the Chena consideration, to have women with a sense of assuredness and encourage them thereby to get married. Elal Balchov Kashya. But according to, but as far as the reference here to Balchov, that is a difficulty. After all, Rav Popa mentioned that Yisomim are not B'nai Mevad Mitzvah, and that's a reason not to have their property sold off to pay debts. They are not required to pay off debts. They're still minors. The Gemara answers, Li'olom B'Balchov Ovid Kechovim. The creditor spoken about in this source is a Gentile creditor. And as a result of that, we will pay off the debt. And there is no mitzvah consideration here that would warrant us delaying. Ukegoin shekiba olav ladun b'dinei Yisrael. And we're talking about a Gentile creditor who accepted upon himself Jewish law, and therefore is willing to wait the Yemei Hachroza. The Gemara asks, "E kibul olav lintarlu ad godly?" If he accepted the Jewish way, so as far as Rav Papa is concerned, shouldn't they wait till they become adult? Answer: Shekibul olav lazu velo kibul olav lazu. This Gentile creditor accepted the waiting period for the announcements for fetching a high price for their land, a 30-day period. However, he didn't accept upon himself waiting until they become adults. Now we have a number three with a crown. If anyone forgot what this is, you always have the convenience of looking back to see where the crowns first appeared and the explanation we gave. This is, in fact, a third explanation as to why someone would be of the opinion not to sell off orphan properties. And we're speaking about the sale of orphan properties in order to pay off debts. Why would someone not want to sell off the orphan property? So, Rav Amar Mishum Shovar, because of the fear that a receipt was actually made out, because the debt was paid up, their father having received a Shovar, a receipt, and we just don't know where it is. The Yisayimim don't know where it is. Amar Le Rav Huna Braid Rav Yeshua LaRava. Now, he starts a question that lasts a number of lines, so take note of the fact that this is a long question by the kuf that's encircled the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara with a vertical descending dashed line. So the Gemara asks, Umi chayshinon l'shovar? Are we really concerned about that? Are we worried about that? V'ha'atnan, we have the following source. Hanifras sheloi b'fonov lo tifra ela b'shvua. A woman that is collecting from her husband's property, not in his presence, he's not around. Rashi cites an example, a man who went abroad and sent a divorce document, a get, to his wife, and once she gets divorced, so she wants to collect her ksuba, the ksuba payment. So this source says, a woman who is collecting not in front of her husband, lo tifra ela b'shvua. She is not entitled to collect unless she swears that she has not yet received payment. The Omer of Acha Sar Habira, Rav Acha, whose title is Sar Habira, that's part of his name, will say, Maisebol if ne Rav Yitzchok nafchal Antuchia. An incident came to Rav Yitzchok in Antuchia, name of a place. The Omer, loy shonu, Elo ksubas isha mishum chena. This halacha of based in entering a person's property to pay off his debts when he, the owner, is not there, this is something we'll do only for a ksuba payment because of the chena consideration. Avo baal choiv loy. But to pay off a creditor, so we wouldn't do that. The rova omar of Nachmon, afilu baal choiv nami. Even to pay off a creditor, if someone owed money and he traveled abroad and the creditor comes with a claim for his debt, we will sell off the creditor's, the borrower's property in order to pay off the debt. Now, the e chayshis l'shovar, if receipt presence is something one takes into consideration, well, hasanami necho, shouldn't we concern ourselves with that also in that case of the Baal Chov? This creditor may be the man who's abroad paid off the debt, received a shover, a receipt, and he doesn't owe any more money. So why is it that if you are correct, if Rolf is correct that there's the shover factor is a reality, then how is it that we will sell off the properties of the man who is abroad? Omar Lay. So Rava answers, Hasam Kidamrinon Taimo. There, in the case of payment of a balchov for a man who went abroad, there's a built-in reason for that, a special reason. Shelo yehe kol echad noitel me'oisav shechaver v'olach v'yoshev lo v'meninasayam, to prevent people from leading some kind of we'll call it easy spending life, where he takes money from other people, he borrows money from other people, and then skips town and thinking that he'll get away with it. So we preempt such a mindset by saying, listen, buddy, if you think you're going to borrow money from someone and skip town thinking that we're not going to pay off your debts, you're wrong. We will do that. So that is a, we'll call this halacha of paying off debts to a creditor. When the borrower is Mimenides Hayam, there, maybe you could say, maybe you'd say that there is a possibility there was a shofar, but on the other hand, in order to preempt this type of behavior on the part of the masses, we say that your property will be collected from even in your absence. However, when you're dealing with collection of property from Yesoimen, no one here skipped town. Their father maybe skipped out on life, but didn't skip town. And as a result of the fear that maybe the father really did pay off the debt and received a shovar, that would be reason enough not to sell off the Yesoimen property. Omar Rava Hilchasa, Ein Nizkokim Linichse Yesoimen. We don't sell off properties of the of orphans to pay off creditors. The E Omar Tnu Nizkokin. If the father said pay, the E Omar Avihem. There's a Girsa Rashi as he inserts the word Avihem. E Omar Avihem Tnu Nizkokin. If their father said pay off the debt, so then we will sell off their properties. Now, Tanu is now broken down into a couple of different possibilities. That's why we have a little colon here. If the father said in a specific fashion, Sodezu Umonezu, pay off the debt with this field or this portion, and he itemized something, he identified something in a specific way, Nizkokin, the Ein Mamidim Apotropos, we will give over that which the father instructed without the need to hire an executor. However, if he said pay off the debt, but didn't specify, he said Sode Stam, he said give a field without specifying, or Umona Stam, give a portion of my estate to pay off the debt. So we have on the one hand the father's confession or admission that the money is still owed, but he didn't specify. So then Nizkokin, we will pay off the debt, however umamidim apotropos, but we'll set up an executor to choose the quality of land, the poor quality of land or portion to pay off the debt. In other words, this apotropos's role is to ensure that they, the orphans, retain the higher quality property. Amri Nahardoi. Nahardoi is circled in contrast with Rava in our sugya. Bekulu Nizkokin, even in the case of Sode Zu and Monezu, umamidim apotropos. Once again, Bekulu Nizkokin Umamidim Apotropos, we will pay off in the case that the father admits owing the money, but we will also set up an apotropos. Levad Minimse Soda She'ena Shaloi. with the exception of one case where we won't set up an executor, but rather pay immediately. That's in a case where property held by the father is found to be not his. Why? The achzuki sadi b'shakri lo machzikinon. We don't assume that witnesses that come to testify that this man, this father, is holding on to stolen property as being liars. We trust the witnesses, so that if you have a case of orphans holding on to property, but witnesses testifying that some particular land is not their fathers, never belonged to their fathers, we will take that land away from them even without an executor. Omar Rav Ashi, Hilkoch, is dakuki lo mizdakikinon. Deho Omar Rava, Hilchisa ein nizkakin. Rava ruled that we don't sell off orphan properties. And as we said before, as we set up in the Gemara much earlier, we're talking about the sale of the selling off of orphan properties in order to pay off their father's creditor. That we will not do. The E mizdakekinon mukminon apotropos. And if we're in a situation that we are selling off their properties, then we will do it only with an executor. The Amri Nardoi, Bekulu Nizkokin, Umamidim Apotropis. Nardoi spoke about our selling off their properties, but there must be an apotropis. Even in a case where the father had said, had identified properties to be given over. Levad Minimse Soda She'eno Shelo, with the exception of that case where it was found that the man's properties were not his. We don't need to set up an apotropis, but rather that land is given over to the one laying claim to it, because he's coming with witnesses. De'achzuki sadi b'shakri lo machzikinon. We don't assume witnesses to be lying. So just to review this last section of Gemara, the Gemara's ruling basically says that in general we won't sell off orphan properties. We offered reasons for that before. There might be a chashash of if there's room to suspect maybe their father had paid it off. However, there are circumstances that we will mizdakek, and that is a case where the father had said he had specified a piece of property or a portion to be paid off. To be paid with under those circumstances, and then the tsrori consideration falls away, and we can sell their property or give over their property. However, there must be an apotropis overseeing the transaction or that the transition of possession. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.